Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Hey Amud Aleph, 11 lines down. The Gemara is now discussing what seemingly was the conclusion of the Gemara yesterday, which is that Rabba, even though he holds that the Mishnah's issue with B'fanai Nechtam is Lishma, that he also considers or takes into account the issue of access to Edim. And that's what the Gemara concluded yesterday, that Rabba Itle Derava. The Rabbah has Rava's position because we saw that in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion can only fit into the issue of access to Edim, not an issue of Lishma. And therefore, the Gemara concluded that Rabbah holds of Rava, but Rava does not hold of Rabbah. And then the Gemara gave two nafkaminot that there are still between those two opinions. Then the Gemara questioned from a Mishnah, and first had to explain the Mishnah. It was a difficult Mishnah. And then asked on Rabbah from that Mishnah. Many of the Rishonim ask, why does the Gemara only ask on Rabbah and not see this as a question on Rava? Because, let's look at the case. The case here is a case where an individual brings a get. Was nitcharesh, he became suddenly unable to speak after he gave her the get. And he's able to say, b'fanai nechtav, u'b'fanai nechtam. So the Gemara says, well, now we have a problem. Why is the solution over here, Timi Mikayema Yidei Chotamav, if the whole problem here is Lishma? So the Gemara says that's not a problem because this is the Achar Shilamdu. After they already knew that Lishma wasn't a problem overseas, and therefore they don't need any validation because of the Lishma aspect, they only need a validation because of Ein Edim Mitzuyim. Now, Ein Edim Mitzuyim is a problem for Rabba and Rava. So what's Rava going to say in this case? Rav is going to say that when you have two Edim that come and validate the get, you don't need to say, b'fanai nechtav, u'b'fanai nechtam. Tosfot believes that b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam comes to replace a validation of the signatories, and therefore if you have a validation of the signatories, you don't need to say, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam at all. Rashi, on the other hand, says you do have to say it because of lo plug. It's a gzera of lo plug that the shliach always has to say, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, even if we validate the signatures separately. But here in this case, this is a case where an individual came and he brought it and then all of a sudden he's nitcharesh and he can't say b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam. Even Rashi would agree in that case that you don't need to say b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam because it's a milta de lo shchicha, it's an unusual case. And since it's an unusual case, the chamim are not gozer. That means that the answer for Rova as to why the Mishnah here makes sense is because you were mekayim et ayidei chotamav, which is what b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam is trying to accomplish. And since that's the case, when you don't have b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam, you solve the problem by validating the signatures. So now for Rabba, Rabba holds of Lishma, and he also holds of Rabba's position. The problem with Lishma we just got rid of because Rabba said it's lacha shlamdu. It was after they already knew that Lishma was no longer an issue overseas. That means that all that Rabba's left with is Rabba's issue. Rava's issue is that Ein Edim Mitzuyim. Well, the same answer that is valid for Rava is valid for Rabba. Because Rabba can say, just like Rava, that when you don't have B'fanai Nechtav, B'fanai Nechtam, then the validation of the signatories is the alternative. Whether according to Tosfot, it's a complete replacement, or according to Rashi, you replace it, but you still have the low plug, but the low plug falls away because this is a Milta de lo Shchicha. So why doesn't Rabba answer the same way you would have answered on behalf of Rava? And on the other hand, if the Gemara does not give that answer for Rabba and gives a different answer, then why isn't the question a valid question on Rava? Now, the answer might relate to what we mentioned at the end of yesterday's daf, is how much Rabba buys into Rava's Shita. Does Rabba hold fully of Rava's Shita? Or does he generally subscribe to Rava's Shita? But there's still things where he thinks differently than Rava, even in the case of Ein Edim Mitzuyim. So in the case where he might think differently, then you can answer the question, which is that Rabba has a different opinion than Rava in this scenario. On the other hand, if he thinks exactly like Rava and he holds like Rava, why does the Gemara give the answer here of Shema Yavzura Davar Lekil Kulo? The Gemara here says that the answer is Rabba keeps the Gzera in place that you have to say B'fanai Nechtam U'fanai Nechtam, even in a scenario where Lishma is not a problem because it might go back to the way it was before. And we're choshesh for the possibility that even though they know now and they're experts in Lishma overseas, there'll be a time where there'll be people that are not as educated and they'll try to give Gitin and it won't be done lishma, so we maintain the gezerah in place for that possible scenario in the future. Now again, why did Rava have to come up with that answer if Rava himself would answer differently here? And the only thing left bothering Rava is Rava's issues. And again, if those answers aren't sufficient and Rava had to give a separate answer, then why doesn't Rava also have to give a different answer? So the Balei HaTosafot over here bring an amazing statement from Rashi. They say that in an old version of Rashi, Rashi wrote the answer to why he thinks there's a problem over here and then crossed it out. And in later versions of Rashi, it doesn't exist, as it doesn't exist in our Rashi that we have here. Nevertheless, Tosafot quotes this earlier version of Rashi, and he says that Kotav Rashi beperush ktav yado. So we have a manuscript from Rashi. Dach kushya. Idi hoki yachol nami. Vi hoki chad nami. Airi lemaid salka datka mi korah. That these questions are all going back to our original assumption. The Rabba late laid the Rabba. The Rabba does not hold the Rabba. The chain derech hashas. That's the way that the Gemara works many places. The butter de totav mi chado. Hadar motiv le meidach. Even though they had a question that was decisive. Like we saw in yesterday's daf with regards to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, we have a decisive question that says that Rava has to hold like Rava. Nevertheless, the Gemara continues on its merry way as if that question didn't exist. And now they keep questioning Rava from different angles, even though they already acknowledge that Rava can't stand alone, he has to hold of Rava. Nevertheless, the Gemara continues as if that didn't happen. And now the Gemara is questioning them as if Rava and Rava are completely independent shitot. So then they bring up other motiv lemidach. They bring up other questions on that scenarios. B'shuv machako Rashi, and then Rashi erased it. So Rashi himself speculated that that was the answer, but then erases that for good reason, as the Tosafot Rosh points out that that is not a good answer to the question here. As many other Rishonim point out, that doesn't really the way that the Mishnah is structured says that if you don't have b'fanai nichtav v'nechtam that you're mekayim it ayidei chotomav. Through its signatories. Now, if Rashi's right that the Gemara continues to think that Rava and Rava are completely independent shitot, then why according to Rava, who thinks the whole problem here is lishma, do you have to go back and validate the signatories? That's not an issue for Rava whatsoever. The only way it's an issue for Rava is if he holds like Rava. And from that, the Tosafot HaRosh proves that the Gemara is continuing with its previous assumption that Rava is holding of Rava now. But then, you have the issue, which is, why doesn't Rava then just give the same answers that Rava would give here? Why does he have to come up with this whole new scenario of Shema Yachzor Davar Lekil Kulo, when he could simply answer like Rava, which is, the whole reason for Fanai Nechtam is the Kayem et Shtar, and if you can be kind of Shtar by Yedim, then you don't need the Fanai Nechtam. The Rabbeinu Tam answers in the Sefer Yashar, in a way that is similar to what Rashi answers over here, but a little more nuanced, which is that according to Rava and Rabba, according to the way the Gemara started out, the reason for Barfanai Nechtam Fanechtam is different. According to Rava, it's a kula. We really need you to validate the signatories to the get, but we give you a dispensation to use Barfanai Nechtam Fanechtam Nechtam, and that helps out in this scenario. Whereas according to Rabba, that necessity for b'fanai nechtam originally was because of lishma, the issue of lishma, which means that even if the get is validated and you validate the signatories to the get, you still will need to say b'fanai nechtam because of the lishma aspect. Which turns out then, according to Rabba, that b'fanai nechtam is actually a chumra and not a kula, and that's what precipitates this difference in the Gemara over here. Which is according to Rava, that b'fanai nechtav v'nechtam is a kula, then of course the solution to the problem is if you validate the get by another means, you don't need b'fanai nechtav v'nechtam, or according to Rashi, only because of low plug you do need it, but you really don't need it. On the other hand, for Rava, who thinks that b'fanai nechtav v'nechtam is a chumra, so that's how the Gemara is processing the question. Now, if you think it is a chumra, and that's why you have to say it, then What's Rava gonna do in this scenario where there is no b'fanai nechtam nechtam needed because of lishma? Lishma's God as a problem. Gemara answers up, Shem yachzor adavar l'kiu kulo. So what the Rabbeinu Tam in a sense says is that they maintain their perspective on b'fanai nechtam, that Rava thinks it's a kulo and Rava thinks it's a chumra. And therefore Rava can't answer like Rava that the whole problem is solved by just having to get validated. Because that would indicate that it is a kula. Rava believes that b'fanai nechtam is a chumra. And even though, yes, he agrees with Rava, but he doesn't necessarily agree with Rava that it's a kula, he still thinks it's a chumrah. And so even though when the lishma goes away, he has to deal with the fanai nechtam as a chumrah. Gemara asks, why is the chumrah still around if lishma is gone? The answer is, shemi yavzor adabar lekul kulo. Now, that works well according to the sheet of the Tosva we mentioned before, that Rova's opinion is that if get is validated, you don't need to say fanai nechtam at all, because then it's clearly a kula. According to Rashi, that it's a low plug, that even in cases where you mekayim the get, you still have to say fanai nechtam, even according to Rova, then you can't make a claim that it's really a kula, because we're making you say it in every scenario. You could phrase it that way, but it's not as simple or smooth. The Re, over here in the Tosafot, makes a different suggestion, which is that it's based on how the Gemara concluded yesterday, which is my benayu. What's the nafkamina between Rabba and Rova? The Gemara's question of my benayu is not simply a question of what's a nafkamina, because there are nafkamina, because Rabba still requires lishma. But what the Re claims is, when the Gemara asks what's the nafkamina between them, what the Gemara really means is, what's the nafkamina after lishma went away as being an issue? After lishma disappeared, because everybody knows, and achar shalamdu, then what is the difference, the practical difference between Rabba and Rova? The Gemara gives you a number of differences between them. And what you see from that is that Rabba believes, even after the disappearance of the problem, lishma, he still requires, you say, b'fanai nechtam, because of shema yavzor adavar l'kil kulo. And so what the Re claims is that when the Gemara said, ma beinayu, it was actually telling us that Rabba has this additional gzeirah. And that's why the Gemara now is moving into the case of Chereish and asking, well, if Rabba has that gzeirah, then what happened to that gzeirah in this case? The answer of the Gemara is because lo shchicha. The case here is a lo shchicha case, and that's why the gzeirah falls away. So that's the way, the Re's way of dealing with it, and that's why it's only a question for Rabba, or Rabba l'shitato, that he has the gzeirah of shemi yavzorah davar l'kil kulo. The Gemara, according to that reasoning, is trying to understand Rabba's shita, and that's the progression of the Gemara, and that's why it's focused on Rabba and not on Rova. Tosafot makes another suggestion, which is also brought, and the Ramban quotes an answer in the name of the Rav Moshe Bar Yosef, which is that the Gemara's question here on Rabba is about the lashon of b'fanai nechtav. Because according to Rava, the reason you say b'fanai nechtav u'b'fanai nechtam is because b'fanai nechtam is the validation of the signatures. B'fanai nechtav is to differentiate it from kiyum shtarot in other scenarios. But we saw back before that Rava disagreed and said that it won't get mixed up with kiyum shtarot. Therefore, in this scenario where the issue of lishma has gone away, and the only reason for the b'fanai nechtav v'nechtam is because the validation of the get, then Rabba should believe it's sufficient with b'fanai nechtam, and he should not require b'fanai nechtav, because it's naturally segregated or separate from the situation of kiyum shtarot, as we said back on Daf Gimel. And so that's what the Gemara is asking here. Why does Rabba require b'fanai nechtav? And the answer of the Gemara is, because he still has this gzera of shemi yachzor adavar l'kul kulo. One of the assumptions is what we mentioned before, embedded in this answer of the Tosafot, is the fact that when Rabba takes up the sheet of Rova, he does not completely take up the sheet of Rova. He maintains some of his positions that he had before. For instance, the fact that there's no mix-up with Kiyum Shtarot. So that's the first assumption in this answer of Tosafot, which is what we discussed yesterday, that the possibility that he didn't buy into everything that Rova said. On the other hand, what Tosafot proves here is that further on in the Gemara on Daf Ted Zayin, it's clear that Rabba, just like Rava, worries about getting mixed up with Kiyum Shtarot. And if that's the case, then Rabba either fully bought into Rava's position, or when the Gemara said it over here, they didn't really mean that Rabba had a difference of opinion. It was a way to explain why they could maintain different positions, but not that that's what Rabba really held. But because of that, it shows that Rabba does believe that you couldn't get mixed up with Kiyum Shtarot. And therefore, that would explain why he needs b'fanai nechtav over here. And then the answer of Tosafot falls away, which is what Tosafot himself says, that this answer isn't such a good answer because of the fact that later on it's pretty clear that Rabba also believes that there's a mix-up with kiyum shtarot, and therefore you would need to say b'fanai nechtav u'b'fanai nechtav according to both of them. Now, the truth is that Tosafot's question on his own answer is only valid because he believes later on that the Gemara is discussing both Rabba and Rova over there. On the other hand, it is possible that according to Rashi, who explains the Gemara over there, is only discussing within the Shita of Rova, is not a proof about anything about our Gemara, which is discussing Rabba. And therefore, for Rashi, Tosafot's answer actually could be a good answer, which is that the Gemara here is asking about Bifanai Nichtav. Why does Rabba need Bifanai Nichtav? And again, this goes back to that core question as to when Rabba buys into the position of Rabba, does he completely take on Rabba's position? Or does he have the main issue of Rabba, which is Ein Edim Mitzuyim, but he still maintains his own independent views with regards to whether it'll get mixed up with Kiyum Shtarot and other items. So again, if you maintain that and you say that the Rabba and Rava remain separate, then you could give the answer that Tosafot gives over here, which is that the question on Rabba is, why do you need Bifanai Nichtav? But then if you learn like Tosafot further on, that the question is on both Rava and Rabba, that means that the Gemara sees Rabba taking on Rava's position completely. If that's the case, you can't use this answer of Tosafot, and you'll have to use the answer that we saw either in the Rabbeinu Tam, the Ri, or the controversial way that Rashi and the Ktav Yad, which is that the Gemara is going back to its original assumption. Right now, we're going to continue 11 dines down. The Gemara has concluded now, in within Rabba's position, that the reason why, in the case of a person who comes, he's a pikeach, he comes, delivers the get, and as soon as he delivers the get, he becomes ditchareish, he's unable to speak, and he can't say, bifanai nechtav, or bifanai nechtam. The reason that there's no problem over here is because, this is after they learned. After, in Chutz La'aretz, they knew how to do lishma, so we no longer had an issue, bifanai nechtav, bifanai nechtam. In terms of articulating it, we can validate it through its edim. Gemara says, if that's the case, then why not in a case where he could speak? Why does he have to say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam at all? You have an alternative, which is to validate the get. Why say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam if we have the same alternative to do or validate the get by checking the edim? Why would you opt for one over the other? Now the lishma issue is not there. It's only about edim mitzuyim. If we can validate the signatures, it should be true anytime. Obviously, it's easier to have him say b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam. And according to some Rishonim, it might be better for him to say that because that is something that the Chachamim structured and works. But that Mishnah that we quoted says if he doesn't, he's unable to say it, so then why, even if he is able to say it and it doesn't say it, why can't we use this backup method? So the Gemara answered yesterday, that's because gzeira shem yachzor hadavar likul kulo. Maybe it'll go back to the way it was before, and therefore we want to keep the gzeira in place. Well, Gemara says if you do that, then why, when he can't speak, do you have that alternative? The Gemara answered, that's because it's milta de lo shchicha. That's not a common case, and therefore their gzeira didn't cover that case. The gzeira saying that maybe it'll go back to the old ways, and therefore we're going to leave everything intact, did not apply to items that are not common, or not common experiences of bringing a get. So in the mainstream ways of bringing a get, then we have this gzeira that still say, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, even though you don't need it anymore because lishma is already permeated or percolated throughout the world, and we don't have that chashash anymore. The only chashash we have is im the edim mitzuyim, and then we have to deal with edim mitzuyim either through b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, or through validating the get. Here we said that validating the get won't work in cases where you have the ability to say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, and that would be ma'akev the get. But only in cases where it's a normal scenario. Some unusual scenario of bringing the get where it's a pikeach and he became nitcharesh right before he answered the get and can't say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. There the chamim didn't put that gzer in place and therefore you have the alternative to get out of the problem. Vayisha de lo shchicha. Wait a minute. If that's really true, then a woman bringing a get is not shchiach. Vitnan. And we have a mishnah upcoming. Aisha atzma meviyah gita. A woman can bring her own get. Ubavad sutzricha lomar. B'fanai nechtav, u'b'fanai nechtam. So all she has to do is say the code words, but she can bring her own get. But that's a case that is unusual, and yet we still say that there's a demand for b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, and we don't offer the alternative to get out of the problem and say, if she doesn't say it, just validate it through its signatories. The Mishnah will later on explain that that case is a case where the husband makes the wife into a shliach. She does not accept her get up front. And she takes it to the Beit Din. And then in the Beit Din, she gets it back basically from the Beit Din as a shliach. And that's when her get goes effective. Now, in terms of her being no get by the Devar, and we said this with the guardians of the other five women who normally can't testify in these cases, they can't testify here, is because the document is the evidence. She's not really doing anything. She's simply functioning as an emissary, an agent over here, not as anybody who's validating or doing anything for the get. And so she's not really nogea b'davar because the get exists. It's written, it has the names and it has signatories to this. This is an overlay on the get. And that's why she's allowed to do it. So that's a general assumption that Tosfot said before, that we assume that unless there's evidence to the contrary, we assume that documents that are signed are valid documents. Shelo tachlok b'shlichut. The answer is that we don't want to differentiate. It's a low plug. Because we don't want to differentiate between different types of shlichut, as Tosfot notes over here. Even though it's necessarily common, and we would have made a gzerah, nevertheless, in places where they can say b'fanai nechtab u'fanai nechtam, we extend the gzerah all the way across. Gemara says, yihochi ba'al nami. Then the husband should be the same thing. Alama tanya, why do we have a braita? Hu atzmo shevi gito. If he himself brought his get, ein tzarich lomar b'fanai nechtab u'fanai nechtam. He does not have to say those words. Why wouldn't he have to say these words if you say that anybody who's a shliach in places where they can say b'fanai nechtab u'fanai nechtam has to say these words, and irrespective of who is the shliach, then you should have to say them. Why doesn't the Baal have to say them? When it says taima mai amur rabbanan tzrich lomar b'fanai nechtab u'fanai nechtam, what's the reason that rabbanan said that we need this phrase u'fanai nechtab u'fanai nechtam? Dilma ati baal umearer upasile, because maybe the husband will come later on and question the validity of the get or cast aspersions on the get. Hashta minkat nakit le biyadei veure kamarele. Here he's the one delivering the get. He's the one bringing the get, and then he's going to come and question the validity afterwards. Right? It doesn't make any sense over there. There's no necessity to protect the woman from the encroachment of the husband on the validity of the get, because the husband is the one delivering the get, and therefore there should be no problem with the get. Tosafot the Shitato explains that this question is only on Rabba and not on Rava, because for Rava, the only chashash by the Baal is that he comes and says that the document is a forgery. And Tosafot already said earlier that we're not choshesh that the Baal will forge the document. Because back on Daf Bet Amud Bet, Tosafot said, De'enu chashud hachshila. That we aren't choshesh that the Baal would do something that would cause a problem by sending a false get, and then one that was a forgery to start with. So therefore, Tosafot says here, the question is only on Rabba, not on Rova. But if the issue is Lishma, then the Baal can come and question it. And if he brought it, we're not going to worry about those rumors. And that's again, Tosafot the Shitato. The Baal doesn't have a right to be posel to get here. He only has the right to create laws, meaning to create rumors about it. On the other hand, there are other Rishonim believe that the question here is an equal question on Rava as well, as to why when the Baal brings it, why doesn't the Baal himself have to say, b'fanai nechtab, b'fanai nechtam? Tashma, deboi minei Shmuel miravuna. Shnaim sheviu get min medinat hayam. Two people carry a get from overseas. Tzrichim sheomru, b'faneinu nechtab, u'b'faneinu nechtam. Do they have to say the phrase that would come along to make this get a valid get? Oh, ain't srichim, or maybe not. Amar lahu, ain't srichim. They don't have to say it. Uma ilo yomru bifaneinu gersha milo mehemne. If they came and testified about the woman herself that she was divorced, or she is a divorcee, wouldn't we believe them? I mean, if they came as regular edim and testified as two edim, the fact that they divorced this woman, what's the question about them saying bifanai nechtam, bifanai nechtam? They don't need to do that. Their edut could stand on its own just about the divorce, then certainly their edut can stand alone without having to say b'fanai nechtav u b'fanai nechtam. So Gemara says, l'rova necha. That works well for Rova, l'rabba kasha. For Rabba, that's difficult. For Rova, that's fine, because if the whole issue is edim mitzuyim, then if two edim come, according to Rashi, it means that the edim are mitzuyim, because two edim brought it, because they're here. Tosafot didn't like that explanation of Rashi earlier, because he says the edim can leave. Doesn't mean, just because they're here now, doesn't mean they're going to be here all the time. Therefore, Tosafot says, when the two edim come and say they were appointed shlichim and they brought the get, the husband can't come later and then question that, because two edim basically testified that they were shlichim and the Baal appointed them. They have full force of the law behind them, and the Baal can't come now and say, no, I didn't. He'll have to bring evidence to the contrary. He'll have to bring edim to the contrary. Therefore, it's unlikely that the Baal will question the get. So for Rava, we understand why you don't need b'faneinu nechtav u b'faneinu nechtam. On the other hand, the Rabba kasha, Rabba, even if he subscribes to Rava, and therefore doesn't need it here, he still believes that you need lishma. As you need lishma over here, why did the two edim coming overcome the problem of lishma? You still need to know that the get was written lishma. It says, hachamai eskin, and again we answer, l'achar shalamdu. It's after the time period where they already learned to do it lishma in chutz laretz, and therefore there was no question about lishma anymore. Iachi chadnami. So then if that's the case, by one aid that comes and does the shlichut, why don't we say the same thing? If they know already that lishma is fine, why do we have to have to say anything? Gemara says, gzeira, shemi yachzor davar lekilkulo. Because we're afraid that it might go back to the old ways. And therefore, you have a problem where they don't know to say this, b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. So therefore, they upheld the gzeira, despite the fact that the gzeira was no longer needed to protect against the lishma aspect. Gemara says, ihachi, beitre nami. If that's the case, then when two bring it, you should have to say the same thing. Petre, the mighty gita, milta de lo shchicha. That two people bringing a get is an unusual type of delivery. Milta de lo shchicha, lo gozer bo rabbanan. And things that are unusual, the rabbanan were not gozer. Mar says, va isha de lo shchicha. What about a woman that's an unusual case? Vitznan, aisha atzma mevia gita. Buvad, shihi atzma tzricha lomar bifanai nechtav, ufanai nechtam. So a woman where it's not a normal scenario for a woman to bring her own get, yet we still say that you're required to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. But it says there, shelo tachlok b'shlichut. Not to differentiate between different parties. So it says, yochi bal nami, then the husband as well. Alama tanya, then why do we have a braita that says, hu atzmo shevi gito, if he himself brings his own get to divorce his wife, eno zarech lomar b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. Gemara answers again, taima mai. What's the reason that you have to say in front of the Beit Din b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam is Dilma Ati Baal me'areru pasulei, because we're afraid of the Baal coming and ruining the get at a later time. Hashta minka nokit lei b'yodei. Over here, he himself is bringing the get. Here urei kar me'arelei, and then he's going to question it. So what we have here are four different scenarios of shlichim bringing a get. What the conclusion of the Gemara is, that according to Rabbo, in all these cases, it's la'achar shalam du. It's already after people in Chutz La'aretz know how to deal with Gitin Lishma, and therefore that's no longer a chashash, that's no longer an issue. Then we have here four cases, two of which require you to say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, two of which do not require you to say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. And the Gemara wants to understand what's the difference between these cases. If they already know how to do Lishma, why do we need the testimony over here? What the Gemara answers is that what Rabba says is, yes, there's no longer a need for Lishma because they're well-versed in this issue. And therefore, we don't have to have a chashash that Gitin are done improperly. Nevertheless, they kept the Gzeira in place. They kept the structure in place because there are chances that over time, that situation will change and not everybody will be well-educated. Not everybody will know. So in order to protect against those scenarios or circumstances where things could go back to the original situation, we kept the gzeira in place. Well, if you kept the gzeira in place, then why doesn't everybody have to say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam? So that the Gemara differentiates and says, there are two cases which are milta d'lo shchicha, that of an isha, which is not a common occurrence that she's bringing her own get, plus that she's traveling, and the case of two edim bringing a get, the fact that he has two shlichim to be agents to bring the get. Again, usually you appoint one person to do the agency and to take the get to the place you need. Here, if you send two people to do it, that's unusual. Both of those cases are unusual. The chachamim, b'milta lo shchicha lo gazru. They were not gozer in cases that are not shchiach. That leaves us with the other two cases. The case of ed echad, or one shliach. That's the case where the gzeira stands. That's the core case of what you would expect by a get, which is a single individual brings the get. There, the din stands, and you have to say, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. The woman, we said, was lo shchiach, and therefore should not have to say b'fanai nechtav v'nechtam. The Gemara over there says, lo plug. They did not differentiate. So even though you're right, it's a case that's lo shchiach, and you shouldn't have to say b'fanai nechtav v'nechtam, we still make you say b'fanai nechtav v'fanai nechtam. So then what we have now is three scenarios. Scenario of two edim, which is lo shchiach. There, they were not gozer otu. They left that be, and you don't have to say b'fanai nechtav v'fanai nechtam at all. Case of one shliach, which is your core case of bringing the get, there you have to say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. Isha, even though she's lo shchicha and she's not been under the gzeira, nevertheless, she was incorporated under a lo plug scenario, which is one and one. It looks like, oh, she's a shliach, another agent. Looks like one agent bringing it. You're going to get mixed up. We want you to say, b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. Even though the woman is an unusual case, nevertheless, they said to keep it in that case. The last case is the baal, the husband bringing it. The husband's one individual bringing it. And looks like the scenarios of a normal agent bringing it or a woman bringing it. And it's also milta lo shchicha. It's an unusual case. So milta lo shchicha would say maybe we shouldn't have a gzera. The fact that it's one individual would say lo plog, you should have to say b'fanai nechtam v'nechtam. The Gemara takes that off the map totally and says, by the case of a husband, the whole safek here, or the whole question at hand here, is that the husband's going to come and question the validity of the get. If he brings it, then that whole chashash goes away. And once that chashash goes away, there's no reason to have the b'fanai nechtam, because we're not really going to worry about the invalidity of a get, where the individual who could cast aspersions or be the biggest questioner of the get is the one bringing the get. So that's how you have these four scenarios according to Rabbah. Isha, who does say it, even though she's milta lo shchicha. Two edim who don't say it because it's milta lo shchicha. Baal, who doesn't say it because it's superfluous, it's unnecessary. And the case, or the core case of an agent, where he does say it because of the gzeira, shema yechzor davar lekil kulo. Tashma, hamevi get mibidinat hayam v'netanola, brings the get from overseas and they give it to her. V'lo amar lai b'fanai nechtav v'fanai nechtam, and they don't say the language that they're supposed to say. Im nitkayim b'chutamav kasher, if they can validate it through its signatories, it's kasher. V'imlav pasul, if not, it's pasul. Say heve lo hutzruchu lomar b'fanai nechtav u'fanai nechtam nachmir leha ela lahakel leha. The whole b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam is a kula by agunot to protect against women being bound up and not getting divorced. L'rova necha, for Rava that's fine. L'rabo kasha. But for Rabo, it is problematic. Because in terms of Rava, we understand. B'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam basically overcomes the deficit of edim mitzuyim. If we don't have b'fanai nechtav v'nechtam, then the alternative is to check it with its chotamav, to check it with its signatories. But the Rabbah kasha, because he didn't say b'fanai nechtav u'fanai nechtam. What does checking its signatories do for you? That doesn't overcome the problem of lishma. If the problem is lishma, then just checking the fact that it was signed doesn't make it any more lishma. Then we had not checked out the signatories. So Gemara says, "Ocha ma'iskin l'achar shalamdu." After they already learned that it was lishma, Gemara says, didn't you say there was a gzera in place that maybe things will go back and therefore you have to say it? Gemara says, "Kishni seit," she got married already. So now we're already in a scenario which is bidiavad, which is that she used the get to get married, and now we're faced with this predicament: is this get kshera or not kshera? Now technically they know lishma overseas, so we know that the get was done lishma, because we assume that they knew that law, and that's fine. Number two is, maybe even we check the signatories. So as far as edim mitzuyim, that's not an issue. The only issue is that you didn't say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam for that gzeira. Now, are we going to uphold the gzeira in the face of her already being married? What the Gemara suggests over here is that once you are married, we're not going to then go back and invalidate the get just because of this gzeira. That's what Tosfot mentions over here. Where you don't say that the vlad is considered to be a mamzer. That's where it doesn't get validated through its signatures. So you have to at least cover Rova's scenario, which is you need that the get be validated, that the signatories are validated. That can either be done through or through a validation of the signatures themselves. Once you're done with that, you technically have a kosher get. But we have this gzeira which says that shema yachzor dvar lekulo, and therefore we need you to say b'fanai nechtav u'b'fanai nechtam. If you fail to do so, then we're not going to let you get married. But if before all of this got straightened out, the woman got married based on this get, then we're not going to uphold the gzeira to force her to divorce, or also possibly cast aspersions on her children that they're mamzerim by saying that the get is invalid. And so that's the answer. Kishini seit yohachi. So then, what's the hevei? Lo hutzruchu lomar b'fanai nechtav u'fanai nechtam lachmir le'ala lakel le'a. Oh, why does that make sense? Weren't we trying to make it as a kula, not a chumra? Mishum d'nesei tu. The reason here that she's let go or things work out is because she got married. It's not because of this logic that b'fanai nechtav u'fanai nechtam is a kula Therefore, if she doesn't say it, we have the alternative of verifying it through the signatories. And that was the Braita's claim was the whole reason for Barfanai Nechtab or Fanai Nechtam was the Akula, that you didn't have to verify or validate the signatures. So if you don't say it, then validating it through the signatures should be a fine way to validate the get. Because you can't say that Barfanai Nechtab, Barfanai Nechtam becomes so essential that the get is pasul if you don't say it. The reason that we allow you to check it or validate it through its signatories is because Barfanai Nechtab, Barfanai Nechtam just came to overcome that issue. It came to deal with that issue. If it can't deal with it, but you deal with it head on and deal with the signatories, then it's fine. So that was the statement explaining why this get is valid. On the other hand, you're telling me now, you know why the get is valid? It's not valid because we validated it through the signatories. The reason that it's valid is because she got married. So the Braita should have said the reason that the get is valid over here is because she got married. Not because you validated it through the signatories. It says, Al Chikamar. That's what it meant. You want to say that Bifanai Nechtav Vanechtam is a Chumrah and have her divorce? We're not going to be Machmir. We're not going to uphold the Gzerah as a Chumrah. We're going to only uphold the Gzerah as a Kula. So when it helps us and when it makes it easier on the woman, fine. In a case where it's going to make it more difficult for the woman, and you validated through the signatures on the get, then we're fine. And the get is a good get. Ah, you have this gzeirah, shemi yachzor adzvar lekukulo. So that gzeirah, you're right. We're going to uphold it, but only in cases where it doesn't cause a huge amount of tumult and doesn't undermine everything that has been done already. In this case where she got married, to invalidate the get now would be a terrible avla for this woman. And possibly if she has children already also, it'd be a terrible avla for her children. According to Rabbah, the original takana was this, that we need you to validate the signatures, and we need to know that it's lishma. Bifanai nechtav v'nechtam can overcome both of those problems. It can help you with the lishma, because he saw it being written, and he can testify about it. It overcomes edim mitzuyim, because he says, I can validate the get. I know that this is a good get. So it overcomes both of those problems. Later on, the lishma problem falls away. So that's what Rabbah says. We don't have to worry about lishma anymore. But you still have to worry about Rabbah's issue, which is Eidim Mitzuyim. So there, again, you have the same scenario, which is the way to solve the problem is either through validation of the get, or we give you the kula of Bifanai Nechtav Ubifanai Nechtam. The only thing Rabbah adds in is that even after Lishma went away as a problem, and the only issue left is Rabbah's problem, I still want a gzeirah in place that says you have to say Bifanai Nechtav Ubifanai Nechtam, even if you validate the signatures because of the Lishma aspect. The Gemara wants to know now, we have a case here, where basically it's being validated through its signatures, and the Braita is saying it's good, and you don't have to do anything more. According to Rabbah, you should have to still say Bifanai Nechtav Bifanai Nechtam because of the Gzeirah, Shemi Yachzor Adzavar LeKukulo. The Gemara's answer is it's a case where she got married already. Where she got married already, we're not going to uphold this Gzeirah of Shemi Yachzor Adzavar LeKukulo because that would cause huge problems for this woman in this new marriage, especially if she has children. So in that case, that gzeirah we don't uphold. So the get is valid because it was validated through its signatories, and therefore we dealt with that issue. That was only a gzeirah. We're not going to uphold that gzeirah in the face of her being married and creating terrible complications from that. So now the Gemara says, time am I. The whole reason for b'fanai nechtav v'nechtam is dilma ati bal me'arer upasule. The problem is that maybe the husband will come and undermine the get. Hashta Baal Lokum Arer. Right now, the Baal is not here questioning it. Ana Nikum Bin Arer Allah. We should start to question it. We should cause a problem. Meaning that the whole reason for the protection of Bifanai Nechtav, Bifanai Nechtam, to validate that it's Lishma, is because if the husband comes and questions the get, then we have protection to show that it was done validly originally. So now here, the husband's not here questioning it. And the way Rashi reads the Gemara here, this woman's already married. So now we're going to go and question the validity of the get when the husband's not questioning the validity of the get, and that's going to cause an unwinding of this marriage? No way. So now you can see in Rashi, it's in the last wide line of Rashi, v'ibayitema lo garsina. You're not gores this ibayitema, which implies that there was a v'ibayitema in the Gemara that Rashi erased. Rashi sees this little piece here as a continuation of the previous answer. This is all about why, when the woman already got married, that we say that we don't worry about this gezeirah of Shemi Yachzor Advar Lekil Kulo. Because the original institution was to protect the woman if the husband comes and makes claims against the validity of the get. And that protection was done for both Edim Mitzuyim and Lishma. The Edim Mitzuyim problem we overcame because we validated the get through the signatories. But now we're left with the Lishma issue. The Lishma issue went away because they no longer have that problem overseas. But Rabba said, I still have a gzera in place to say Shemi Yachzor Advar Lekil Kulo. So now, we should have to have him say, Bifanai Nechtav, Ufanai Nechtam. The only problem is, the woman got married. She got married already. So Gemara says, if she got married already, then we're not gonna make Bifanai Nechtav, Ufanai Nechtam a chumrah that is gonna cause a whole unwinding of the marriage. Because the whole reason the Bifanai Nechtav, Ufanai Nechtam was put in place originally was to protect the woman against a questioning of the validity by the husband. Now, if the husband isn't here questioning the validity, and she's already married, we're as a beit din not going to question the validity of the get. That's not going to be a good scenario. And since there is no questions arising yet, then there's no reason to raise the questions when it's going to cause all the complication. So that's what Rashi sees as a continuation of the previous answer. The reason to be makil over here is because the only reason you'd be machmir is to go back to Shemi Yachzor Advar Lekil Kulo. And Shemi Yachzor Advar Lekil Kulo was all about a protection for the woman if the husband comes and casts aspersion on the get. Now she's married. If we start to cast aspersion on the get, that's going to cause huge problems. So therefore, we're not going to make that claim if there's no claim being made yet. That's the way Rashi reads it. On the other hand, you can see the Tosafot. Rashi lo garis ibaitema. The siyuma de milto. It's the end of the previous answer. The end of the re, nira, the shapir garisle. No, that the word here, the top of our daf, should start ibayitema. Not time am I, but ibayitema. Mukila hashta, kodim shalamdu. The Gemara is giving an alternate answer. The first answer was that the reason you don't need bifanai nechtav ufanai nechtam is because they already are bekiyim in lishma. Since they're bekiyim in lishma, the only thing left is a gzeira, shemi yachzor advar lekil kulo. Shemi yachzor advar lekil kulo, we're not gonna hold in the face of a marriage. If she's married already, we're not gonna impose that gzeira for a scenario where if it goes back to the old situation, da 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 da. That's not worth it, because we're gonna ruin a situation that's already completed and caused a lot of problems. That's one answer. Then, be by dema, the other answer is, no, this is before they learned lishma. And we're still afraid of the issue of lishma. But she got married. So now that she's married, are we gonna question the validity of the get? The whole reason for b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam is to protect against the husband coming and saying the get wasn't done properly. It was found in the garbage. It was a practice get of the sofrim. Whatever he can claim, that it's not a real get. So we wanted to protect against that scenario. We say, have the shliach say b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam. That will stop the Baal from having the right to question the validity of the get. And now remember, according to Tosafot, if you say that b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam, then the get has the power as if two edim said that. And if the Baal comes and questions the validity of the get, he can't be post-sell the get. All he can do is cast aspersions about the get. So all we're worried about is the husband coming and casting aspersions on the get and causing problems for this woman. He hasn't done that yet. And she's already married. So we as a Beit Din are going to raise these issues and start causing problems. It doesn't make any sense. But now remember, this is all because Kevin Denisate, Lotesei, Kevin to the Yuzuf Lekalamechash. We don't have to worry about a get being false here. Dinit Kayim Bechotamav. Remember, we did validate it through its signatories. So Leka El Laz Baalma. According to Tosafot, there's only Laz. That's the only risk that you have of the husband showing up now, is that he's gonna make trouble or cause rumors about the get. If he's not here yet, she's already married, we as the Beit Din are not gonna start spreading those rumors or question the validity of the get. This might tie back to Rashi and Tosafot's machloket before, that when the individual, the agent comes and says, bifanai nechtav, bifanai nechtam, what type of power does he have? According to Tosafot, his power is so full that the only thing the Baal can do is cause suspicions about the get or cast aspersion on the get. He can't be posel the get. So it's all about a rumor issue, and that's what we're trying to protect against. Rashi there said, no, if the Baal's one, and the shliach's one, it's one versus one, you have a problem with the get now. It's an invalid get. And the husband can be post-sell the get. So therefore, the way Tosafot explains it over here is that we have this agent come. He didn't say, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. So he can't protect against that problem of lishma, which is only a problem that the husband can get rumors, but can't invalidate the get that way. Why? Because we already validated through its signatory, so it's not a false get. So because of that, Tosfot says, if that's the only reason, and she's married, we're not going to do anything about it. According to Rashi, if the Baal shows up and says that it wasn't done lishma, he can invalidate the get completely. He can say that the get was a no-good get, and then we would worry about the validity of this get, and it would be pasul, and it would cause huge problems. So for Rashi, this can't be an answer, possibly, when they still had the problem of lishma, because Rashi believes that the husband has enough power to invalidate the get. So therefore, Rashi sees this as an extension of the previous answer, not a new answer of an ibayitema. He says it's still a case after they were lamdu, after they already knew that lishma, and they took care of that lishma problem. Because if it was before lishma, then we really would have to worry when the Baal shows up and makes the get pasul, then we have a real problem. This woman's married, she's going to have children, she's in this new marriage, we'd really have to worry about that scenario. And therefore, that's not the answer here, that it was pre the time that they knew to do lishma, it is post that time. Right now, the plunta de Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. This machloka between Rava and Rabba is parallel to a machloka between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi earlier Amuraim. Chadamar lefi she'en bikim lishma. One of them said that they're not bikim lishma. Chadamar lefi she'en edim mitzuyim lekaimo. And so the other one says it's because there's not easy access to the edim. Tistayim. Let us conclude that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi hu damar lefi she'en bikim lishma. That it's Rabbi Shimon ben Levi is the one who says that they are not bikim lishma. Did Rabbi Shimon ba Abba aiti gita the kamei Rabbi Shimon ben Levi? Shimon Abba brought a get before Rabbi Shimon Levi. Vamalei tzrichna lemeimar b'fanai nechta b'fanai nechtam or lo? Do I have to say b'fanai nechta b'fanai nechtam when I bring the get? Amalei lo tzrich. You don't have to say it. Lo amru ela b'dorot rishonim she'em bikim lishma. That was only a necessity in the earlier generations where they said, where they didn't know about lishma. Aval b'dorot achronim to bekim lishma, lo. But in these later generations where lishma is not a problem, then you don't need to say it. Tistayim. From there, it's very conclusive that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi thinks the reason you have to say b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam is because ein bekim lishma. He makes it very clear here that the whole reason that that was in place was lishma. And in later generations, you don't need it because they are bekim lishma. Now the Gemara says v'tizbura. Is that really makes sense? Now, Rashi eliminates Vitizbara from the Girsa. Lo Garcin and Vitizbara. Tosafot agrees that Rashi is right here, that you shouldn't put it in. But Rashi says, even if you do put it in, the Tizbara is not a question on the Tistayim. The conclusion of the Gemara here is correct. That Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi clearly thinks that the problem was She'im Bikim Lishma. That's conclusive from the conversation that they had over here. But it's coming to question our conclusion before, or the other issues that we raised, which is, even according to Rabba, who says the issue is Mishma, he agrees with Rava in the end that you also have to worry about Edim Mitzuyim. So the Gemara's question is, Vitizbara, what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, can that be right? That after we have Bekiyim Lishma, you don't have to worry about saying B'fanai Nechtav V'Nechtam. We already know, according to Rabba, even after Lishma went away, there's still Rova's issue, which is Edim Mitzuyim. And in addition to that, we also know that there was a gezerah, Shemi Yavzorah Davar Lekil Kulom. So even if you can conclude, which seems pretty conclusive here, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi holds the problem was Shem Bikim Lishma, nevertheless, why did he exempt him from saying B'fanai Nechtav U'fanai Nechtam? There are two reasons for him to have to say it. Number one is Rabba holds of Rava, so Ein Edim Mitzuyim is still an issue. And in addition to that, even if you take care of that problem, we saw from Rabba that it's a gzeirah, shemi yagzorah davar lekil kulo. Given those two issues, then he should have had to say b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam, irrespective of the fact that the lishma issue went away. And that's what the Gemara is questioning. So Gemara is not questioning the conclusion here that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi thinks it's b'kim lishma. Gemara is now questioning how could Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, in this scenario, say that you do not need to say b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam. V'ha Rabba itlei derava. Number one, Rabba holds of Rava. That means that Edim Mitzuyim is still a problem, even according to the one who says She'en Bikim Lishma. Vod Hamrina and Shemi Yachzor Devar Lekukulo. In addition, we said that there's a Gzeira in place. So even though Lishma went away as a problem, we still have a Gzeira that you have to say it. Ella Rabbi Shimba Abba Inish Achrina Havabade. There was somebody else there with Rabbi Shimba Abba, which means that it's two Edim bringing it. And remember, we established before that when you have two Edim bringing it, that you don't have to say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam at all. for Rava, because the Edim are either found here, like Rashi says, or according to Tosafot, the fact that they bring it shows that they have really do the Medesh Lichut, and the Baal can't come and be Me'arer on that. And in terms of the Lishma issue, we said it's a Davar Delo Shriach. And since Davar Delo Shriach, they were not Gozer in that case. So that's why Yeshua ben Levi over here said you don't have to say B'fanai Nechtam, B'fanai Nechtam. So then Gemara says, V'hai D'chogol Choshiv Lei. Well, if that is the scenario, and that's the whole reason here, why didn't they mention that there was a second guy there? That would have been a pretty important piece of information. Where it says, Mikshum Kvodo the Rishim of Abba. That was at a kavod for Rishim of Abba that the other guy was considered insignificant. So when the Gemara retells the case, it really takes the case. So Rishim of Abba came before Rishim ben Levi. It's not that he came alone. He came with another shliach that came with him. But in terms of retelling the story, the only significance was that this really important guy, Rishim of Abba, came before Rabbi Shuman Levi. They tell the story as if there was only one aid there. You're right. It is important that there were two people there. But I have covered for Rabbi Shuman Abba. They tell over the story as if Rabbi Shuman Abba was the only one there. Because basically he's the one who interacted with Rabbi Shuman Levi. The other guy was just a sidebar to the whole story. Although him being there does change the dynamic and the psak halacha. And that's the way the Gemara concludes to deal with that. Itmar. So this is something we saw back on Daf Gimel, which is Bifnei Kama Notnola. For how many does he give it to her? So we saw there was a machloket, whether when the person comes to bring the get and says, b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, in front of how many people does he need to do that? Two or three? The shliach has given the get to the woman in front of either two witnesses or three witnesses and saying, b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina. The machloket here amoraim. Chad amar b'fnei shnayim, chad amar b'fnei shlosha. Which is what we discussed now, that there's a question as to whether it has to be done in front of two or three people. Tistayim de Rabbi Yochanan hu. Let us conclude that it's Rabbi Yochanan believes that Amar Bifnei Shnai, that he thinks that it's two that you have to do in front of it, not three. De Rabin bar Rav Chista, Aite Gita Lekameh de Rabbi Yochanan. So we have another here, a case, a scenario where Rabin bar Rav Chista brought a get before Rabbi Yochanan, Va'amar Lei, Zil Hav La Ba'pei Trei. And he says to them, go give it to her in front of two. Ve'em Alohu, and say to them, Bifanai Nechtav, O Bifanai Nechtam. Tistayim. So here, it's conclusive from this, that Rabbi Yochanan, when he's instructing someone to carry out this gezerah, he says to them, go give the get in front of two people, and say, b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. It's pretty clear that Rabbi Yochanan only requires two, and not three. So we have a conclusion as to whose opinion is which, over here, which is Rabbi Yochanan believes you need two, and Rabbi Chanina is the one who thinks you need three. Lema b'haka miflege. What is the machloket here between whether you need two or three? The one who says that you require two is because the issue here is a lishma issue. Because there are edim to uphold the get. So what's the difference? In terms of lishma, all you need are edim to testify to the fact that it's lishma. So if you bring it and in front of two edim say, now you have two edim that can testify to the fact that it was done lishma. And then, when it comes to kiyum shtarot needs to be done in front of three people. So normally, kiyum shtarot will be done through verifying the signatories to the get. Over here, you're overcoming that problem by saying, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. But it should look like the normal case of kiyum shtarot. A normal case of kiyum shtarot is done in front of three, basically in front of a beit din, not in front of two edim. And so, if you're going to use this as a kula, to overcome the deficit of verifying or validating the get, it should be done in the same method as the validation of a get, which means in front of three. Mar says, Vitizbara, does this really make sense? Ha, mid Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Amar, lefein she'en bikin lishma, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, lefein she'en edim mitzuyim lekaimo. Before, if you remember, there was a machloka between Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. So we concluded that Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi was the author of the position of she'en bikin lishma. Which means that his Baal Plukto, his Rabbi Yochanan, believes that the issue is Eid Eidim Mitzuyim Lekaimo. Now, over here, you're saying you have Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, and you're saying that the Machlok between them is about the same issue. But then it will turn out that the way you're structuring it now is that Rabbi Yochanan believes the problem is Sheim Bikim Lishma, and Rabbi Chanina believes the problem is Eid Eidim Mitzuyim Lekaimo. That means that in your two conclusions here, you now have Rabbi Yochanan taking on two sides of the problem. In the first case, you're saying that Rabbi Yochanan believes that it's because of Ein Eidim Mitzuyim Lekaimo. And over here, you're saying that Rabbi Yochanan believes that it's because of the Shema. That would be inconsistent. And therefore, the Tizbro over here makes no sense. Because we already concluded that Rabbi Yoshua Malevi for sure is the one who says Shein Bikim the Shema. That means Rabbi Yochanan believes ein edim mitzuyim lekaimo. And then hacha echin kamar Rabbi Yochanan ifnei shnayim. So then how could he be the one that's saying it's in front of two? Vod haraba idle derova. On top of that, we know that even according to the one who says she'im bikin lishma, they still require edin di mitzuyim lekaimo. So just because you hold of lishma would not give you a reason to do it in front of two. You still have the kiyum shtarok problem because rabba holds of rova. That means even if you think it's lishma, you still think an edin di mitzuyim lekaimo is a problem as well, and you would require three no matter what. Both parties should require three. Ela dukuli amibinan edin mitzuyim lekaimo. No. Rabbi Yochanan, like his shita above, believes that the issue is in edim mitzuyim lekaimo, and so does Rabbi Chanina over here believe that that's the issue. V'ha'cha b'shliach nase eid, ve'eid nase dayan kamiflege. The machloket here is about whether a shliach can become an aid, which everybody agrees is the case, that a shliach will bring something as an agent can then become a witness about events or about the fact that it was brought. But there's also a second stage, which is eid nase dayan. If someone is a witness, can they also become a judge in the issue? Manda mar bifnei shnayim, the one who says in front of two, kasavar, he believes, shliach nase eid, ve'eid nase dayan. The shliach becomes a witness, and then the witness becomes a dayan, and there you have three, because the person who brings it, first of all, is a shliach, and he says, b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. He's also a witness to the fact that he's saying it. But not only is he a witness to the fact that he's saying it, he's also part of three people now seeing this. Two that we brought in from the outside, plus him, which makes him into that beit din that you need for the kiyum shtarot. So it's all accomplished. This shliach does three roles. He's an agent, he's a witness, and he's a dayan. He can accomplish all of those three roles. Uman damar b'fnei gimel, the one who says you need three outside parties, kasavar, shliach nase aid. The shliach himself can be an aid, but in aid nase dayan, but he can't become a dayan. You can't. That's two roles that one person can't fill as being an aid and a dayan. Where it says, v'ha kaimelon d'b'rabanan ne'id nase dayan. So Gemara says, that opinion seems strange. Because ein achanami in dinim d'oraita, we believe that an aid cannot become a dayan. So if somebody is a witness to something, they can't sit on the court and be a dayan at that point, if it's a d'oraita case. So they have to remain an aid and they can't become a dayan. But we do believe that in rabbinic issues, aid nase dayan. And this is clearly a rabbinic issue. The whole institution of b'fanai nechtam is a rabbinical institution. That's what we already concluded earlier. So if it is a rabbinical institution, then why can't aid nase dayan according to all opinions? And therefore, we don't understand this opinion, Rabbi Chanina's opinion, saying you need three, because ain aid nase dayan, this is a rabbinic issue, it should be able that the aid becomes a dayan. This must be their machloket. Everybody agrees aid nase dayan, and the shliach is also an aid, and also a dayan. But what's the machloket here? Tamar Savar came to Ishak Sherala via Taget. We have a problem here. A woman can be the agent. Remember, we saw that before. Even though it's milta de lo shchicha, nevertheless, a woman is possibly a bringer of the get. Zimde maitilei itzita. The woman will bring it. V'samchi alo. And then they will rely on her. So now, what's going to happen is the woman shows up, and in front of two, which is what the institution is here, that you have two people witness it. Then in front of two people, she says, bifanai nechtam, bifanai nechtam. Problem is that in this scenario, even though she can be an aid in this scenario, because it's a rabbinic institution, she can't become a dayan. If she can't become a dayan, you don't have the requisite three that you needed for the kiyum ha-shtar. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Chanina. The idach and Rabbi Yochanan, isha mida yode, velo samchi ala. By an isha, they know, and they won't rely on her. Rabbi Yochanan says they'll know that a woman can't become a dayan, and they'll bring in three in that scenario, knowing that the woman is not able to become a dayan. The Tosafot is seemingly addressing your issue, which is, didn't we just say before, isha lo shchicha? And if isha lo shchicha, then why are you putting zera in place to worry about a case where a woman brings it, that we would be short on dayanim, because there'll only be two and not three in that scenario? It's a milta lo shchicha, we don't worry about cases, we don't think about those scenarios. So the Tosafot says, hachi garis rabbeinu tam, Kaven the Ishak Shira Lavita get Zimnin de Maitilai Itzita. Now, first of all, it's not just a case where it's the woman herself who's bringing her own get. It's more broad here, which is that it's a woman in general bringing it. But beyond that, he says, Buhuadin, the Matzlamemar Zimnin de Maitilai Karov. It also been a case where it's a related party. So what Tosafot does in the end is expands the pool of individuals who are problematic in this case. It's not just the woman who's problematic in this case, it's anybody who's a karov. Because a karov can't sit as a dayan in a scenario like that. And so now you have the gzera is not on a lo shechicha case, it's actually a more shechiach case, which is you have a whole pool of individuals who are kasher to bring and be agents to bring the get, to say b'fanai nechav v'nechdam, but they can't be mitzdarev to the beit din. And that pool of individuals is going to cause us a problem according to Rabbi Chanina. Therefore, we're gozer in all cases to put three, so we don't worry about that case where the agent is bringing it can't be mitzdarev to the case. Rabbi Yochanan says that people know that women, krovim, can't sit as dayanim, and therefore you don't have to put an institution in place. Normally we'll have two, they'll be mitzdarev to be the third. In a case where the person is related or an isha, they'll put a third one on and they'll know to do that. So that's the machloket between them. So the Tosafot says that this question here is about women in general. Other Rishonim believe that the question is not about women in general, but a woman who brings her own get. And that's the only scenario where we would say she's psula, the kiyum shtarot, but other krovim are not psulim, le kiyum shtarot. If that is the case, then you do have a question as to why, if that is lo shchiach, why would you be gozer in that case? And that's probably what pushes Tosafot in the other direction. As to the reason why in Eden has said dayan, many of the Rishonim believe it's a gzeret ha-katuv, which is v'amdu anashim asher lehem ariv lifnei Hashem. They can only be omed lifnei Hashem. They can't be the Hashem or the Elukim. They can't be the dayanim in the case. Tosafot also suggests the possibility that it's neidut she'ena yachol azima. It's neidut that you can't have azama, and that is a integral psul in any neidut, when you can't be mezimit, because the judge who will not allow his own neidut to end up as an edut of hazama, because that would incriminate him, and therefore it becomes a problem if he sits as a dayan, it's going to affect his edut. Now as to why over here Eidna said dayan, is very possible because it's not an edut gemura, as we've been saying until now. This Eid Echad is not necessarily testifying like regular witnesses, as evidenced by the fact that one Eid can do it, or an Isha can do it. And so therefore, the problem in Eid Nasid Dayan is not a real issue over here, because he's not really an Eid. And that might revolve around something we're going to mention in a second, which is, what's the status of the Shliach over here? Is the Shliach a Baal Davar? Does he now become the party to the get, and he's the one that's giving it? Or is the Shliach really acting as an agent for the other party? And therefore, he is not a Baal Davar. And whether he's a Baal Davar or not will affect whether he can become a Dayan in the case. If he's a Baal Davar, then he's no Gav Baal Davar, he can't become a Dayan. On the other hand, if he's simply a Shliach, an outside party, then he can be an aid, and then he can become a Dayan because he's not no Gav Baal Davar. So Tanya Kavati de Rabbi Yochanan, we have a braita that supports Rabbi Yochanan's understanding over here. And if he get, maybe dinat ayam. Vinetanola, they bring a get from overseas, give it to her. V'lo amar la b'fanai nechtav u'fanai nechtam. They don't say the requisite phrase that they need to say. Yotzi v'avlad mamzer. Tibi Rabbi Meir. She has to get divorced. And the vlad is a mamzer. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Now, we just saw before, we had a bright that it said that you don't have to get divorced. Just be mekayem it by chotamav. And you won't have a problem. So that's the answer that Tosafot gave before. That's the difference in the cases. The case before, they didn't say b'fanai nechtav v'nechtam, but they still validated it with the chotamav. Over here, you do not have a validation of the signatory. So you're missing both b'fanai nechtav v'nechtam and the validation. Chachamim say it's not a mamzer. It's a good get. We just have a problem we have to deal with. Ketzad yaseh. So then, how do you deal with this issue according to the Chachamim who say that the vlad's not a mamzer? It's lena hamena. You take it back. V'yachzor v'tnena la b'fanai shnayim. You go and give it back to her in front of two. V'yomar, b'fanai nechtav, u'b'fanai nechtam. And then repeat the phrase that you needed to say. So first of all, in re-giving it, now you've overcome the deficit of b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. In addition, you see here that they only require two people to be there to witness it. And that supports Rabbi Yochanan's position that it only has to be done in front of two, not in front of three. Now what is very interesting over here is that according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that you can use two, then you've actually created a scenario where you have edim come, or an aid come, and then he testifies, gives the get, and says, b'fanai nechtav v'fanai nechtam. And then these two edim become witnesses to that fact, and then they can testify on behalf of the woman, or they can come to court and testify for us. But their testimony is really a testimony of aid me pay aid. It is hearsay. They did not witness the event. They did not witness the writing. They just heard it from another aid. And generally, aid me pay aid does not work when it comes to testimony in Beit Din. So how come over here, all of a sudden, aid me pay aid is a valid testimony? So there are two ways to deal with it. One is the Pnei Yoshua, who suggests that the din of aid me pay aid is only invalid when you're dealing with real edut, when you're dealing with two edim. But in areas where there's only a requirement for one aid, which means that it's no longer under the rubric of regular rules of edut, but rather it's an institution of the chachamim, either to be the varer milta, to clarify something, or according to Rashi, it's nemanut, over there, that you can do aid mi pi aid. The two witnesses can't testify to the fact or to the information that one aid gives, and we actually find that in the Gemara in Yivamot, which says that for Aguna Hikilu, that Eid Echad could come and tell about the Mita Dabal, they not only said that Eidim that are not normally not Kshirim are Kasher, Isha, Eved, they are Kshirim, but even Eid Mipi Eid is Kasher. And so you see that the two are correlated. That when you don't require full Eidut, only a single Eid, that also Eid Mipi Eid is not an issue anymore. And that's likely because you're not working with the regular Dinim of Eidut. And the Ritva knows it's not real Eidut. This is just Eidut that the get was done Lishma. The Ritva suggests is that there's not real Eidut here. The only Eidut of the Eid Echad is that it's Lishma. And the Lishma aspect is not an issue of Eidut, but rather Eid Echad Neman Bisurim. Then why do you require two witnesses to hear it from him? Because of Midak Dayik. Because then he's more careful about what he says, and he will be sure that what he's saying is true. On the other hand, the Meiri takes that a step further and says that the Midak Dayik actually has impact on his status. And that is, the issue of aid me pi aid is only in a case where the new witnesses are coming to testify about information that they heard from other parties. Again, hearsay. Over here, that is not exactly what's happening, because the Gemara earlier told us that when the witness comes and gives the get and says, b'fanai nechtav, in front of two edim, then midak dayik. He's much more careful about his testimony, and he ensures that he really knew and he really saw what had happened. And this whole procedure of saying b'fanai nechtav, and midak dayik changes the status of this individual, this agent here, from a witness into a bal davar. He actually becomes a party to the get now because of the fact that he says b'fanai nechtam. Therefore, when he does it in front of the other two witnesses, they're actually witnessing not testimony from this Eid Echad, but rather as if he is writing the get in front of them and giving it to the woman in front of them. Because of this concept of b'fanai nechtam, which transforms the whole action into an action of midak dayik, and it's not like regular testimony, so too, when the other two edim witness what he does, it's also not considered to be hearsay or aid mi pi aid, but rather they're edim to now the maiseh ha-girushin, as well as the ktivat get, and that's why they can testify about such a matter. Mar says, Rabbi Meir, mishum to amar, b'fanai nechtam, yotziva, vlad mamzer? Rabbi Meir thinks that this institution of the chachamim, b'fanai nechtam, is so strong that now anybody who's born is a mamzer, and you have to get divorced. I mean, that's a pretty strong statement about what the deficit of B'fanai Nechtav V'Nechtam. Let him solve the problem the same way that the Chachamim do it. Tosfot points out over here, it's very clear from this case that you have to say B'fanai Nechtav at the time that you give the get. Anytime you give the get, that's when it has to be said. Because otherwise, let him give the get, and after the fact, say B'fanai Nechtav V'Nechtam, and that'll solve the problem. If we don't do that, we tell him, take the get back and give it again. So it shows you it has to be said at the time of giving the get. He says, if it's in Tochadei Dibur, it's fine. Even if he gives the get and says it's Tochadei Dibur, it's fine. He does says, Aval Lachar Kadei Dibur, Misfeka Dari Imahani, Kol Zman Sheh Oskim Beoto Inyan. There is a concept, and it applies by marriage and by other areas, that as long as you are engaged in the topic, we consider it as if you're still within that purview of the original Kinyan. And the Kinyan will cover anything negotiated in that period of time, because we consider as if you've extended whatever it's being doing, you're still talking about it. And the Kinyan covers all of that. So over here too, maybe when you give it, and you're still discussing the get, and then he says, b'fanai nechtam, even though it's more than tokadei dibur away, it's still topically there, and it's as if you're still in the motion of giving it. Maybe, he says, maybe that's the case. And he's also misfekalei if he said it before. What happens if you say b'fanai nechtam, and then give it? Does that work? The re is a safek in both of those cases, because here it really makes it sound like you have to say it really at the time that you're handing the get. If you don't say it at that time that you're handing the get, you have a problem. Here you see from the Chachamim that the get is valid. We don't call the children mamzerim, we don't force her to divorce. We right. Just have to overcome the problem. So you take it back and give it to overcome the problem. For Rabbi Meir, it's a problem. So Gemara says, Rabbi Meir thinks the kids are mamzerim and it's no good. In Rabbi Meir the Tamei, this is Rabbi Meir the Shitato. Rabbi Meir Anybody who changes the standard or the form by which the Chachamim demand you do something, in Gedim, Yotziv Avlad Mamzer. He basically says, if you deviate from the structure or method by which the Chachamim say you have to do something, then it fails, the Getz Pasul. So opposed to the Chachamim, we see here a Get Kasher with a deficit because we have to make up for that deficit. The problem is that there could be issues with this Get. So they say simply take it again and give it with the words. Rabbi Meir sees a deficit here, posel the Get the Gamre, because you didn't follow the prescription of the Chachamim. If you don't follow the prescription of the Chachamim, Rabbi Meir's Shita is Get Pasul. Then once it's Pasul, then you can't do anything about it. You can't rectify that situation. Tosu does know that this case of Yaseh is not just for the Rabbonon, but also for Rabbi Meir. For the Rabbonon, it's even after she's married, she can do this. Whereas for Rabbi Meir, it's only prior to Nisuin that they can do this, or they can effectuate this correction of the problem. Whereas the Tosafot read over here says that the case of Yaseh is only for the Shita of the Rabbonon, that Rabbi Meir has no way to rectify the situation once you have deviated from the Matbeah of the Chachamim. Baradaya, Bayiliatuya Gita. So Baradaya went to go take a get. He was going to be an agent for bringing a get. Ata the Kamei Rabbi Chai, Dava Mimuna Agite. He went in front of Rabbi Achai, who was the get expert of the time. As Rashi notes over here, that you only had experts that had to deal with Gitin because they are very particular laws and they have huge ramifications. So he went to the expert, Rabbi Achai, Amalei, Tzaricha Talamod, Al Kol Ot Va'ot. You have to stand there and make sure that every letter is written properly. Ata the Kamei Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi. He went in front of Rabbi Ami Asi, Amalei, Lo Tzaricha, you don't need all of that. And we'll see in a second, what does he need to say? And so Rabbi Hadayah's question was, if I'm going to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, how much of the get being written do I need to witness? He goes to the expert, Rabbi Achai, and he says, you got to see the whole thing. He comes before Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, and they say, you don't have to see the whole thing. And if you say, v'chiteim avi d'chumra, I want to be machmir myself, and I want to see the whole thing, nimsa tamod silaz al gitim arishonim. Then you're going to cast dispersions on Gitim that were brought beforehand. Because the Gitim beforehand, the people didn't witness the whole Get. They only witnessed the most important aspect of the Get. And so if that's the case, then if you start to be Machmir, you're going to start to bring questions about the previous Gitim that they didn't see the whole thing. So Rabba Barchana Aita Gita, Palga Ichtiv Kamei, Upalga Lo Ichtiv Kamei. Rabba Barchana was a Shliach to bring a Get. Half of it was written in front of him, half of it was not written in front of him. Ata the Kamei de Rabbi Elazar, he went for Rabbi Elazar Malay, Avilu Oktav Bo Elashita Achat Lishma, Shuvenu Tzarich. All you have to do is witness that the first line is written Lishma, and that's it. That means that if you see them starting out, writing the first line Lishma, as Tosfot says over here, the Stam assumption is that they finished it Lishma. So if they start out doing it Lishma, you don't have to worry that then they changed and stopped doing it Lishma along the way. If they started out Lishma, then we assume that they wrote the entire Get Lishma. And all you have to see here is the first line being written in Lishma. That's the sheet of the Tosafot that you literally just have to see the beginning. Whereas Rashi and other Rishonim believe, Shita Achat doesn't mean literally one line. It just means you have to see the Toref of the Get. You have to see the key elements of the Get that they're written in Lishma. The rest of it you don't have to worry about. And that's what Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi were basically telling Bar Hadaya, which is that you don't need to see the whole thing. You just need to see the beginning of the writing or a little bit of the writing, and that's sufficient. And we don't have to be machmir, because if you're machmir, it's fine that you're machmir now, but that's also going to cause problems for previous gitin that didn't have that chumrah. People will start to say that those previous gitin were not good gitin. Ravashi Amar afilu kan kumasa b'kan migilta. Or the alternate girsa here, as you can see in Rashi, is afilu shama. Kan kumasa v'kan megilta. Even if you hear the sound of the quill and the sound of the parchment, that is sufficient. The way that Rashi describes it over here is tikun akumus. He's fixing up the quill, he's cutting the quill, and a cloth. You hear him unrolling the cloth. Then we assume that he was mitakenet lishma, because here they asked him to write a get, and now he's starting to prepare the utensils that would be used for writing a get. He's getting his pen, his quill ready. He's getting or cutting or unrolling the parchment. So you know that he's writing a fresh get over here. So if he's writing a fresh get, then we can assume it's done lishma. They asked him to write a get, and now he's writing it. That's what lishma means. He's writing this get for these particular people, for this particular scenario. And therefore, you don't need to witness the actual writing. You simply have to know, through circumstantial evidence, that the sofer here is writing a fresh get for these individuals. Tosfot over here notes that this is different than a case of a suma who can't see, where he is pasul to bring a get, because he can't say b'fanai nechtab u'fanai nechtam. Over here, even though he doesn't see it, both the fact that he could see it, which is the principle of kol ro'ui lebila elam bila me'akebet bo, plus we'll discuss more in detail why this suma is excluded when we get to it later on. But Tosafot says that this is different, and therefore here, simply hearing these noises is sufficient grounds and be able to say b'fanai nechtav u'b'fanai nechtam. Tanya kavote de Rav Ashi, a bright that supports Rav Ashi's position, and maybe get maybe dinat ayam afiluhu b'bayit b'sofer b'aliyah. Even if the individual is going to bring it, the agent is in the house and the sofer is upstairs. Hu b'aliyah b'sofer b'bayit, or he's upstairs and the sofer is down below. Afilu nichnas v'yotzei kol oliyom kulo kasher. Even if he's walking in and out of the house all day, it's kasher. Hu b'bayit b'sofer b'aliyah. In the case when he's in the house and the sofer is upstairs, b'laku chazile. He doesn't see it. How can he make a declaration of b'fanai nichtav u'b'fanai nechtam? Elalav k'gon d'shama kan kumusa v'kan megilta. Isn't it a case where he heard the sound of the quill or the sound of the parchment? So that would be supportive of Rav Ashi's contention here that you don't literally have to see it. You just have to have strong circumstantial evidence that he's writing a new get based on the facts or the scenario that is here. And that's enough evidence to the fact that this get was written in the Shema. Samamar, is this bright? Seems a little strange. It says afterwards, afilu nichnas v'yotzei kol yom kulo kasher. If he's going in and out, it's kasher. Man, who's going in and out? Ilema shliach. If you're saying the agent's going in and out all day, hashtahu b'bayit the sofer b'aliyah d'lo chazilei amart kasher. In a case where he's downstairs and the sofer's upstairs and he doesn't see anything at all, it's all from the circumstantial evidence of what he hears. Over there, we say it's a valid get and he can say b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam. Nichnas v'yotzei mibayit. In a case where he's walking in and out of the place where the sofer is actually writing. So here, nichnas v'yotzei means he's in and out all day, but the place that he gets is where the sofer is writing, so he sees the sofer writing. In, out. So he doesn't see the whole thing, but he sees at least part of it being written. Over there, certainly it should be kasher, because there he at least witnessed some of the writing. Ella, what's the scenario? Sofer. It's a case where the sofer is going in and out of the house. Where it says, pshita, shum de nichnas v'yotzei nifsaline. Just because he's going in and out of the house, why should that make it pasul if he's writing a get there? Where it says, Latzricha, the Nafik the Shuka. He went out to the Shuk, Vata, and then he comes back and continues to write the get. Ma'udetema inish achrina ashkeche. Maybe he found some other people who asked him to write a get. Va'amerle, and they said to him, please write a get. And now he changes who he's writing the get for. Kamashman, we don't worry about that scenario. Even when the sofer leaves writing the get, we don't assume he began the get for one party. And then somebody in the shuk asked him for the get. So he switches now and writes the get for another party. We don't worry about that chashash, even if he's in and out of his studio where he's writing, because that's an unlikely scenario that he's going to change his mind midway through. And therefore, the nichnas v'yotzei over here is not the agent, but rather the sofer, and we're not chosesh for that scenario. Again, if the agent was going in and out, and he saw him writing part of it, that would be sufficient evidence. Even if he wasn't nichnas v'yotzei, but sitting there and he hears him preparing the utensils and doing the writing, that's also enough evidence to say, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtav. And of course, if he witnesses one line of it being written, or even more being written, then certainly he can say, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtav. Now, from this discussion, it makes it sound like the halacha is like Rabbo, because over here we're requiring ketiva lishma. Whereas, seemingly, according to Rava, you don't need ketiva lishma. What many of the Rishonim note is that even according to Rava, since you're going to have to say bifanai nichtav, what qualifies for you to be able to say bifanai nichtav? Even though the whole reason for that is so that you don't get mixed up with kiyum shtarot, the question is, what do you need to witness in order to be able to make that declaration of bifanai nichtav? Which brings us to the bottom line is who the halacha is like. So many of the Rishonim believe that the halacha is like Rava because he's a Bashra. And the Gemara here seems to say in the end that Rava subscribes to the position of Rava. On the other hand, there are Rishonim like the Raivod who believe that the halacha is like Rava because there are other sugyot and shas that seems to support that the Lishma issue is an issue. Like our Gemara over here, which seemingly is indicative of the fact that Lishma still remains an issue, especially according to Rabbi Achai. And we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Vav Amud Aleph.